Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp enough.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
It's The Wrap. That's when we hang out with some friends on a Friday morning for about a half hour and just recap and talk about the news of the week. Joining me in studio this morning, we have Kurt Morris, formerly the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board. Now he works in banking. Kurt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has. Good morning. I'm so grateful to be back here in the studio. I love it here.
Oh, man. It's so much fun to have you. And Caleb Houston, who was one of the two guys who started the protest movement over at the Graffiti Bridge last year, along with Kyle Cole, he is en route. I'm waiting on him this morning. He's a friend, kind of one of these guys that, you know, you never know who you're going to meet in this business.
And oh, that's for sure.
Some of the most fascinating people. And he is really genuinely one of these, like, just wonderful local people working to, you know, help the homeless and help feed people and, you know, protest against injustice. And you know, sometimes people are like, you're friends with people like that? Yeah, of course. I mean, it's my pleasure to be.
This is a small community, so
yeah.
You need
hey,
to
Caleb.
Be.
Caleb just walked in the door, man. All right, so yeah, put those headphones on, and we were just talking good about you. So I was just talking about
morning,
meeting you at the Graffiti Bridge last year and all the good work that you do in the community. Caleb Houston, with what is it? Homes for Our Friends. What's the name of the organization?
Huts for Our Friends.
Huts for Our Friends. That's
yes,
exactly right. Well,
absolutely.
Good to have you guys here in studio with me. It's my pleasure to be able to spend a little bit of time talking about the news of the week. Let's just kind of start there because this has been a big news story in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. Kurt, of course, previously with the Downtown Improvement Board, you've had a lot of things where you guys have tried to deal with homelessness and also with panhandling. Not necessarily the same, but certainly connected topics. And Caleb, you've been working on this quite a bit as well. Let's start with you since you're most recently involved in this. Okay. How is Huts for Our Friends going? And, you know, how's it going so far? We talked with you a couple weeks ago. What happened since then?
It's going great. I'm excited about what's going on, man. We have a phenomenal group of people that has been working diligently to get things running. We have a facility at 3101 North Davis that we're having our ribbon cutting ceremony on tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So,
that's
right.
Yes, sir.
Outstanding.
Yes, sir. So we have 50 rooms. We can house up to 200 people. We're working hard, man. Things are looking really good. Yes, sir.
I love that. What mm-hmm. building is that? That's formerly, what was that before?
It was an old probation office building, actually. I spent about 3 years in probation in there, and now I'm using it to bring hope to the community.
It's yes, okay.
Sir.
So, pardon me, I didn't know this was happening
yes.
tomorrow. This
right.
is one of the, you know, this, we
yes.
have news happening as we speak.
Yes,
so,
yes,
I mean, tell me a little bit more. This is going to open
okay.
tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
That's
yes,
fast.
Absolutely.
And this is just, this is your organization. This
yes,
isn't
sir.
The city or anything
yes,
else.
Sir.
This
no, sir.
Okay.
This is their
and it's going to be
yes,
50
sir.
Beds?
Yes, sir. Well, we actually have two sets of bunk beds in each room. You can house up to 4 people in a room.
Okay.
So we can approximately house about 200 people.
So what's yes, the process sir. Look like for qualification?
Okay, the process, the only thing that we're waiting on now is our fire alarm sprinkler system.
Okay.
We get our permit to house overnight after that point. But right now we'll be operational, so we'll be able to offer classes such as drug and alcohol counseling, mental health evaluation and therapy, life management skills, financial literacy are some of the courses that they'll be taking. So they can come in, get signed up, and go ahead and start the classes. We'll also be feeding. We'll also be offering job opportunities
nice.
Such as car detailing. We have a thrift store there and meals throughout the week.
And what was the location again?
3101 North Davis.
3101. What's the cross street there? Where?
Anderson.
Anderson.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, Kurt, that's, I mean, I genuinely, I had had Caleb come on the show because I thought, hey, he's a good person that I know that's aware of things. He'd be fun to have on the radio and
yes,
just
sir.
To talk about that. I genuinely had no idea this was happening
yes,
tomorrow.
Sir.
So kind of cool.
Yes,
I know,
sir.
You know, it's
absolutely.
Really cool because, you
absolutely.
Know, there is a gap. Obviously, mm-hmm. we have
yes.
a lot of outreach, mm-hmm. Over 36 different outreach organizations. But
yes.
to know that this is coming online mm-hmm. to give an opportunity to those most in need in our community,
absolutely.
We all know.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of need.
Absolutely.
Here. There really,
absolutely.
Really is. This is phenomenal.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So how do you see, because this is kind of, you know, the news of the week was this ongoing question of, you know, what's going on with the homeless encampment underneath I-110?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the only one in town, right?
It's
there
not.
Are numerous.
Numerous,
and
yes, there are.
not being intimately familiar with each one, but my understanding from the people who talked to City Council last week is each one has its own culture.
Yes.
Sometimes better, sometimes worse. Some of them are very unsafe places, even though there might be a number of people there. And this is one that the residents there, the campers, if you want to think of them, have said is a very safe environment compared to some. Is that way you understand it,
Absolutely.
Caleb?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, it's out in the open. It's highly visible. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone that comes off and turns that corner right there to the right, you can see the blue tent. You know that there are people there, unfortunately. And so it does create more of a sense of security because it's in the open. But there are so many that are not out in the open, that are tucked into unseen places in wooded areas behind structures. So,
absolutely.
And I can't even imagine.
And see, what I always think is that the homed citizen, if you want to think of it that way, that the person who has a home or an ordinary residence, our perspective on a homeless camp in the woods is always, was that a threat to me? You know, is that a danger to me? Is that a danger to my kids? You know, what goes on? But I think from their perspective, can you imagine how unsafe it must feel to live every day not knowing, you know, where's your food coming from?
Absolutely.
Will your tent still be there when you come back from you know, whatever you're doing during the day? Who's going to potentially predate upon me as I'm in this situation? I mean, it's not a... It's a very unsettled kind of life, right?
And just experiencing it myself personally, I know the struggle, you know, the process, you know, to recovery. And so I have many nights that I get phone calls, messages from individuals that may have gotten my card or talked to me previously. And they call and say, hey, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. They don't have food. And in my heart, you know, I know sometimes some may use money to get drugs, things of that nature, booze. But I was told by an older lady years ago, she said, Caleb, no matter what they're going to do with that money, you give it to them because that's between them and God. And so what I do is I give from my heart. I say, this is what I'm giving you. And I pray that you do the right thing with it. And so I've had numerous calls, text messages, and I want to be able to continue to show that we really care. Mm-hmm. You know, I get emotional, man, when I think about the many women that have inboxed me and said, hey, I have my 3-year-old in the car and we don't have anywhere to go. You know, and a couple of times they've stayed in front of the building and slept out there because we can't house them in there until we get our permits. So, you know, to say, pretty much I look at it and I say to myself, what needs to happen right now? Because this has been an ongoing issue.
Yeah.
What can we do right now to help these people? And so that's why we're working so hard, you know, every day to push to get it open.
And yes, I think, you know, one of the things that people sometimes think, and Kurt, I know, in your former job, and you've seen this as well, is we tend to want to think of homeless people as a thing.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like homeless is an identifiable category. The reality is that the people who you would put in that category are of such diverse needs, capabilities, mental health status, drug or not status, you know, criminal or not status, you know, what put them in that position. And if you try to think of it as a thing, you're probably going to go astray.
Yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, everything from people who, quite frankly, want to be, to people who it's the last thing they ever thought would happen to them, and everything in between. And so, you know, seeing this from the perspective of downtown, Kurt, you know, that's obviously been a challenge historically, both, you know, that we've had ordinances come and go, we've had legal challenges come and go, and obviously the community is very giving. Pensacola is one of the most generous communities I've ever lived in, probably the most generous I've ever lived in, but trying to figure out how to be helpful, really helpful, and also preserve quality of life for everybody, including them, right?
Yeah, the guttural response is, not in my backyard. That's
right.
The first thing people do, particularly when you talk about a very concentrated commercial core, where you have a lot of tourism coming in, you've got a lot of interaction between people on sidewalks and things like that. So their immediate response is, why do we have to put up with this? You know, isn't there somewhere else they can go? Why do they have to be right here in our backyard? But it's not a they thing. This is our problem.
Absolutely.
This is a county problem.
Yes.
This is a societal problem. And, you know, until we really remedy with guys like Caleb out there trying to do the right thing, helping outreach, giving people an alternative. Mm-hmm. And you hit it on the head. It is really not, Andrew, just about for drugs or money. These are for essentials that a lot of people are panhandling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is a huge distinction, which Mr. Kimbrell and others will say, that they're just because panhandling happens doesn't mean they're homeless as well, and vice versa. So mm-hmm. they are two very distinct issues. Absolutely. And what Caleb is doing is solving one of the most basic needs. Mm-hmm. We need housing. Mm-hmm. And with that comes recovery mm-hmm. or employment yes. or just giving them hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. One of the things I know for us, you know, we do giving, you know, all the time. I mean, we're Christians. That's what you're supposed to do. And we always struggle because I don't want to ever say no to somebody because the Bible says, you know, help people out when you can.
Right.
But I want to be effective. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely. Historically, what I've always done is I never give to somebody on the street, but I give heartily to any organization that I feel is doing, mm-hmm. you know, Christian work especially, but doing work to help the poor, to help the homeless. And so, you know, I'm glad to find another organization yeah. that we can, you know, help support.
Well, even beyond that, I mean, that is the Christian message, you mm-hmm. know, but to that here in Pensacola, it's not even about religion. It's for me as a Rotarian, mm-hmm. it's about service before self.
Absolutely.
Right. And so if you don't give money, at least serve somehow, mm-hmm. you know, get out there and be a part of Caleb's mission. Absolutely. Be a part of the universal solution, right. not the problem.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is, I told you guys, see, everybody always asks me when I book them for the rap, they say, well, you know, how long is it going to be? I'm like, it's a half hour. It goes very fast. So here we are,
yes.
more than halfway through already. It's 8:46 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. In studio with me, I have a good friend, Kurt Morris, and Caleb Houston, and we're just talking about the news of the week, mostly focused so far on homelessness. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about law enforcement. This is something that's also very near and dear to your heart, Caleb. And I know to you as well, Kurt. Before that, we've got Davis Allen with Traffic on the Fives. Good morning, 6:48, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's The Wrap. It's the final segment of the show on Friday when we talk with some friends about current events and things that are going on in the community. Today I've got with me Caleb Houston, who I met last year at the Graffiti Bridge protest and has since become a friend. He is with Huts for Our Friends. That's right, Hut for Our Friends. I keep getting the name exactly wrong. And then Kurt Morris, he used to be with the Downtown Improvement Board and now works in banking. Obviously, this week there's been a lot of conversation, and last week with the outcome of the trial in Minnesota with Derek Chauvin, there's been a lot of conversation about policing, police reform. There's a law that's on its way to getting passed in Florida that deals with some of these things. Other laws not getting passed. Big conversation nationally. Caleb, you started, or you along with Kyle Cole, started the protest at the Graffiti Bridge last year.
Yes, sir.
From your perspective and the Minneapolis verdict in the George Floyd the murder trial, where do you think we stand? Have we made progress? What's your assessment?
I truly believe we've made progress. It's given us more of a sense of hope and the possibility that things are getting better. I believe that's a great start. You know, we look at what happened, and I won't go into detail about things, but it's obvious, you know, that there is an issue. Very evident that things need to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad we're making change. Absolutely.
How significant from your perspective was the verdict in that trial?
Very significant, man. I mean, I believe that looking at what took place, we all seen it on live camera, mm-hmm. what Derek did. And as a whole, man, I get emotional sometimes when I think about, you know, George's family, his mm-hmm. daughter, his friends, and what they're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's not here anymore says enough in itself, you know. Justice needed to be served, and it was served. And that's pretty much what I have to say. Yes,
fair
sir.
Enough. Kurt, mm-hmm. your thoughts on kind of where we are, what progress, if any, has been made, what the tone of the culture is, especially here locally, where, you know, with the Tamar Crawford incident, we, you know, and there's a lot of disagreement about that, certainly, and a lot of, you know, everybody has a view on that, but that was our local incident that led to the Citizens Police Advisory Committee, that plus the protests and, you know, a lot of consequences as a result of that. But your take on kind of where we are, do you see things getting better?
I think we're definitely getting better. I think the justice that was served was served. Mm-hmm. It needed to be.
Absolutely.
I think we live in a society where our law enforcement is to serve and protect. They forget that they are here to serve. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do it in a militant way. Mm-hmm. They can do it in a safe way for everyone concerned. Absolutely. And they can do it such that it does still protect us. So I do think there needs to be reform. Mm-hmm. I think there is reform happening, but we're in real time. We're not going to see it today.
Right.
You know, we're going to have to go back and create milestones so that we can go back and reflect. Did we improve there? How are we continuing forward? And I think over time, and maybe it's a generational thing, because this did not happen overnight.
Absolutely.
I mean, and this is not going to change overnight. So we have to stay focused on that. And I think we will, and we are.
Yeah, I think intense de-escalation training would be very much important. You look at it, like he said, in a militant way. You know, they come and they the extensive force, excessive force that I've seen in many videos and things. I see that there is really a need for extensive training, you know, in de-escalation. You have some people that are dealing with mental health and they may act out, you know, and if an officer doesn't know how to handle that, he's going to take it in an aggressive manner. It's going to begin to get excessive. So that's much needed, I believe.
And we don't know in the moment what it's like to be in that position.
Right, because, right.
You know, the threat is real to our law enforcement professionals out there. They endure it every single day that they hit the clock and they put on that badge. They are at risk.
Absolutely.
So they never know. And, and they are trained to respond.
Right.
And they
right.
have to respond. Sometimes it's excessive, but most of the time I believe in my heart that it's in a safe, just way.
And I give an example, you know, back when I was living in the streets, you know, and on drugs and stuff, I encountered an officer. He told me, he said, "Hey, I'm glad that you were cooperative." He just left a situation where a shooting happened. That let me know. He was like, "Caleb, you know, I just left this. You know, it's really hard to just turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, when you have just been shot at and, you know, gunfire is going on and you're in an environment where your life could be taken. And then you come to another call 30 minutes later. And here it is, maybe an hour later, you are still, the adrenaline is rushing, you know, things of that nature." Yeah. So at the end of the day, I feel like it really takes individuals learning and seeing the importance of research and training and giving yourself to more of a internal, you know, search. You know, is this what I really want? I'm talking about new officers that come into to the force. Is this what I really want? You know, like you said, it's we're here
it's
to protect and serve.
It's a servant position. Yeah, and it, you know, the as Kerr mentioned, you know, and as you recognize the danger at every moment, you know, whether you're on a traffic stop or a warrant service or a domestic, everything can go sideways so fast.
Absolutely.
And yet most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, you have to interact with a wide variety of people under mental health circumstances or under drug circumstances and trying to navigate that. And then to have a simultaneously have like a warrior slash pastoral heart. And it's
difficult to
it's a difficult
culture to survive in, but it's one that is absolutely required. We need our law enforcement.
Absolutely.
And that is our, as citizens, first line of defense.
Right?
So we need that. We need to support them in every way we can. And through training and culture, I think we all will be better for it. I know
absolutely.
We will.
Right.
Well, as I'd say, the time flies quickly. It's 8:55. I'm Andrew McKay. We got Caleb Houston here and Kurt Morris with me in studio for the wrap. The Pensacola Police Department, Caleb, I know you've had a lot of interaction with them. Kurt, obviously, you've worked with them very closely in the past. They're on the verge of what looks almost certain to be a significant leadership change, though I had advocated for them to stay internal by keeping Interim Chief Chrisman as the chief of police. Mayor Robinson seems almost certainly dedicated to hiring outside. I think the most likely candidate is going to be Assistant Chief Randall coming from Newport News in Virginia, although the official announcement hasn't been made yet. This is a big shift potentially for the police. You know, it's a potential opportunity for growth and improvement. It's also a big risk because it'll be the first time we've had an outside chief come in a place that feels pretty proud of how it already does things. So your take on this decision, Caleb?
Looking at it, man, I feel like if their heart is right,
whoever comes in that position, I'm for it. You know, that's what it takes. You know, it's what's right and what's wrong. You know, I haven't done an extensive research or study on this gentleman.
Well, you've been kind of busy getting this shelter
yes, sir.
Ready.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I understand.
Yeah. I believe in standing for what's right, man. That's my heart.
As a community, we need to be open to change.
Yes.
We need to look to evolve into the place that people really, really do want to live, work, and play. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to do that is bring in talent.
Right.
And that talent may not reside here. It could be from Newport. It could be from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need that.
Yeah.
We need that so that we can become that better place.
You know, there's it's kind of interesting. Every job I've ever taken, there's a period of about 2 weeks where you see all the stuff that could be done better.
Right.
And then after about 3 weeks, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's that fresh eyes. Now, of course, the risk is when something is healthy and in a kind of a adversarial culture like we have right now, not so much locally, but when that perception of police is, I know how the cops feel. Like, man, you know, it's like you're saying we're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And I am very hopeful that the new eyes coming, and I think probably from a guy who's from here, and that's going to help an awful lot.
Right.
I'm with you. I'm hopeful that new eyes will bring new ideas and improvement. Of course, the concern is contrast and tension and friction, and we'll see.
We'll see.
But I'm with you, Kurt. I'm a big believer in new eyes see things you didn't see before. A lot of times that's for improvement. As long as we can take those suggestions seriously, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Caleb, you're dealing with this. You're a brand new organization,
yes, sir.
And I'm sure a lot of our longer standing institutions who deal with homelessness, I know their hearts, but I also know that they're probably like, new guy, huh?
Yeah,
but, you know, and it works for business. It'll work for government.
Yeah.
We need new eyes. We need new good ideas.
That's right. And I believe that's what brings me along. Huts for Our Friend and There Is Hope. We have a heart of passion, you know, for people. We want to seek change. We want to see homelessness come to an end.
Yeah.
And I believe that with people with hearts like that, you can't fail, man. It's gonna make a way.
And I'll say something I've said just a couple of times before. We kind of said it today with regards to the homeless, but every citizen is our brother
Absolutely.
Or our sister. Every Absolutely. Citizen, whether they Absolutely. Live in a home or not, whether they're black or white or Hispanic or they, you know, have a job or not, every citizen is our brother, and we have to be concerned about all of them and be wise in how we treat them, whether through policing or housing or fiscal policy or event, just whatever it is. Well, Caleb Houston with Huts for Our Friends and also Kurt Morse, thank you guys for coming in this morning. It went pretty
fast. Andrews.
Congratulations on the grand opening tomorrow, Caleb.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
That's it for us. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll see you on Monday. Thanks so much for listening.